I'm here with Aaron Banal, Director and Marketing and Community Development, Public Information Officer for Bonner General Health and Foundation. Thank you, Aaron, for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you, Susie, for having me.
Yeah, I know you're extremely busy right now with all the national NPR news and about the current situation in North Idaho, but we're here to talk about that, the current COVID-19 situation in North Idaho, and the impact on the healthcare providers in our area and what citizens need to know. So can you give us a current status regarding COVID-19 pandemic here? Where are we at? What is the present situation?
So currently in Bonner County, and this was reported as of Friday, because they do not report Saturday on the weekends, we have 907 active residents here in our county. Bonner General Health has 9 COVID inpatients as of 5 o'clock this morning. The big, you know, to do all over social media that I've said is everyone is vaccinated. I can confirm that, yes, we do have 2 COVID inpatients who were vaccinated. I just want to encourage people to understand that, you know, you just because you get a vaccine doesn't mean it prevents you. The data proves that we do have less hospitalizations to those who are vaccinated. And there's also every individual has their own medical history. So there's a lot of factors that can contribute to a fully vaccinated individual being hospitalized. So that just needs to be kept in mind, you know, as we share information, as we update information, it's really important to be transparent. It's also really important to be respective, I think, of our healthcare community and our community in general.
When you say there's 9 COVID patients, is that full capacity for our hospital?
No, it isn't full capacity. What full capacity is for our hospital is we are a 25-bed critical access hospital. 21 of those beds are for medical, surgical, and critical care. The other 4 beds are for maternity and postpartum. That's completely separate from what we report in our capacity, because those are specialty services that are separate than from COVID and what those needs are. Right now, we have a full ICU. We have, I believe I was just going to pull up what that, we have, I believe we are at about 86% capacity.
So when you say it's important for folks when they hear things to get the facts straight, because misinformation can be harmful. Where would someone go to get, I mean, obviously right now you're the spokesperson for the hospital, so what we're hearing from you is correct information, but where can folks go to get current information that can be helpful and, you know, influence or inform their decision-making?
Well, they can always go to coronavirus.idaho.gov. Panhandle Health District has updated information daily. The CDC, I would very much encourage them to go to reliable medical sources and not get their information off of social media or he said, she said. That's just in life in general, but really from trusted sources.
Okay, and so you mentioned about 907 active cases. Those are tested positives currently within the 10-day criteria for isolation. What about testing? Where can you get testing? How do you access testing? And when should you access testing?
So we have increased our testing hours because of the increase in volume Monday through Friday through our drive-through, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. We went from testing probably about 250 a week to we're up to over 850 a week now. You can be tested in Coeur d'Alene, you can be tested in Boundary County. To go back to the 907 active residents, those are individuals who have a primary residency in Bonner County. That doesn't mean all 907 are currently in Bonner County. And that doesn't mean that it's reflecting all of the tourists and individuals who don't have Bonner County reflected as their primary care residents, but are here in our community.
So when should you get tested? What kind of conditions? You've been around someone who's tested positive, or you have some symptoms. I know that possibly they
contact. There's a lot of people. The science still says that, you can test too early and have a false negative. So if you've been exposed, it's important to take the precautionary measures and wait to 3 to 5 days to be tested. As soon as you start showing symptoms of some sort, it's important to get tested. And then begin also utilize, wear a mask when indoors, make sure that you're not going around loved ones that are immunocompromised, might have comorbidities, wash your hands, stay 6 feet apart, do all those measures that have been put out there to help prevent the spread.
So when you say, so that's kind of a criteria for maybe when you go to get tested. If you've been exposed, wait 3 to 5 days. Or if you have symptoms, I just want to be clear.
Correct.
And maybe talk to your healthcare provider right away.
Well, you'll have to talk to your healthcare provider to get an order sent over to our lab in order to go through the drive-through. Everyone must have an order from a provider. If you don't have a primary care provider and you're a community member and you are showing symptoms or have been exposed, Panhandle Health District is writing orders for those individuals.
Okay, that's good to know. Panhandle Health District can be your primary care to authorize a COVID test.
They can be a provider to authorize your COVID test, yes.
There you go. Just backing up to some of the statistics in our own hospital, of those 9 COVID patients, you said that 2 were vaccinated, so that means 7 weren't. Is that the kind of the balance that you've been seeing all along? There are a few vaccinated, but mostly, which can you say?
We've had 97% of our inpatients are unvaccinated.
Okay.
We've had 3 vaccinated patients that have been inpatients for COVID-19, being admitted and treated for COVID-19.
Okay, it's really important to clarify that and to know when you think about why the vaccine has been promoted throughout the world, it's partly to save lives and to have less host to mutate the virus, the COVID virus, but also it helps our health departments not be overrun. And so right now you hear on the news, and it may change daily. And I think that's what's happening. We hear that hospitals are full in North Idaho, some of them, and many have moved to critical standards of care compared to normal is contingency standard of care. Can you just kind of define that a little bit and kind of tell us where we're at and where maybe could be at and what that means?
Sure. Well, actually, there are 3 levels of standards of care. The first one is conventional. That's where we do business as usual. That is, everyday normal. We go to contingency. That's where you start changing some things around, taking a look at staff, resources, those types of things. Then you go into crisis standards of care, where things are really hard, and that's where Kootenai Health is right now. That's where some other southern hospitals are right now. Where we are is we're still in contingency standards of care, which means our regional hospitals and in Washington, Montana, Utah, and Wyoming are all at capacity, which that limits our ability to transfer patients who require a higher level of care. Because we're a 25-bed critical access hospital, we don't do cardiac services, when there's a significant trauma and you need a trauma surgeon. We don't have those specialties here within our community. When those regional hospitals that take those higher level of care patients are at capacity, those patients stay here and are being treated. And that, you know, that means we typically, we're putting a lot of stress on our, you know, staff, our supplies, the providers that we have in our community. So those patients, you know, we're now seeing and treating people with a much higher acuity than we normally have.
And so what you're saying is we're in the contingency standard of care, but if we have critical patients that we can't really meet their needs here in Sandpoint and Bonner General, normally in mm-hmm. normal days, they would be maybe sent to a hospital that could care for them.
Kootenai Health, Sacred Heart. I know that I've heard from our emergency department providers, there's been several times where, for instance, this morning we've had a level one trauma, a level two trauma, one right after another. We had a car accident in town. I haven't heard the status, but those are the patients that are going to be very difficult, that need a higher level of care than what Bonner General Health provides, where there's not beds available to get them the level of care that they need. That's when we're in contingency mode. That's when it affects patients, you know, just in general.
So the hospitals that we might send those patients to are in critical standards of care right now.
Kootenai Health is in critical standards of care, correct.
That's our first go-to because they have their,
yes,
they're just bigger.
Along with Utah, Wyoming, Montana, and the state of Washington.
So is Providence Sacred Heart also in critical standards of care?
I believe they are. I know they haven't been accepting too many patients at this point. I haven't had an update today. Mm-hmm. I think that's also really important that capacity changes on a minute-to-minute basis. You can have discharges, you can have deaths, you can, you know, anything can happen where you have five beds, a trauma comes in, you have no beds. So it's on a day by day, minute to minute basis on what capacity looks like.
I think it's really good to clarify that and the difference between the standards of care. One of the things that I read recently in a national news is that a person's vaccination history for COVID-19 is never considered when it comes to decision-making in a hospital. Just to clarify that, is that true?
Absolutely. We are here to serve our community despite people's personal choices. We're going to ensure we provide our patients and our community with the very best care. You know, we've always been that way, and we are going to continue to move forward that way. We want, you know, we trust our community and we need our community to trust us.
Right. Sounds good. There was a segment recently on KXLY TV about a Sandpoint man that needs surgery to remove a tumor from his leg, but it was postponed. So we're talking about postponed. I don't know if those are elective surgeries, but pretty important surgeries. He's concerned because he can't get that surgery right now because the hospitals are at capacity that would do that kind of surgery. And he's concerned because he may lose his leg. I mean, it was on television. This doesn't seem like a good place to be. Another woman in Sandpoint is waiting for brain surgery. What can we say about that? And how can we make a difference and be part of the solution to, you know, help our neighbors, I guess I'd say.
Well, I think that over the last year and a half, we, the health, public health, you know, healthcare individuals have put out there what we can do as a community to prevent these things from happening. You know, for us, I don't know those individuals. We don't, you know, provide brain surgery or, you know, so I can't speak to those patients specifically because I don't know their history or their stories. What I can say for us is we are canceling elective surgeries that require oxygen because the facilities, and not just Bonner General Health, but healthcare facilities in general, were not you know, they're not structured to be able to handle the increase in oxygen that's needed for these sick patients. And despite the fact that we put in a bulk oxygen tank, 15,000 gallons, you know, we're at our max. We are at our max. And that's just reality right now. We have your general, normal, conventional standards of care sick patients that typically get sick, that have heart attacks, that have trauma. And then for Kootenai, for example, they have 100 plus additional sick patients with a virus of COVID-19. I mean, so that takes a significant amount of oxygen. So where we're at Bonner General Health is we are taking it day by day, week to week, and canceling elective surgeries that require oxygen at this time.
I got it. So I think what you said previously when we were talking about things that we could do, get vaccinated, wear a mask. If you're sick, get tested. If you are positive for COVID, do the right things that you're advised to do. But a lot of people have misunderstandings, I would say, but maybe another way of saying it is vaccine hesitancy, who are not vaccinated. So just for a minute, let's talk about the vaccine. It's a little bit more on the medical side of the big picture, but a lot of times people say, just get it, it's safe. But that doesn't always answer people's concerns. How can we encourage people to get vaccinated with information that is correct and helpful for their decision-making?
Well, Susie, I think we need to take a look at our community historically with vaccinations. And we, you know, we've had a low percentage of just families who choose not to vaccinate their children. We have a low percentage of 65 and older that choose not to get a pneumococcal vaccination, who choose not to get the flu vaccination. In 2020, we had 35% of Bonner County reported as getting their flu vaccine. So when I think about how do we try and change that in our community, I don't necessarily know that that's going to happen because, again, prior to COVID, we still had a low vaccination rate as a community. So we're talking to, you know, that you're either going to get it or you're not going to get it. But with that being said, I just encourage people to talk with their providers, do the research and do, you know, research with medical advice that's science-based, that makes sense. And then at the end of the day, you know, I encourage people to get the vaccine. I believe in the vaccine, but it's what makes that individual feel safe. And I can't, you know, there are so many other things that an individual can do if they choose not to get vaccinated that can help our community to decrease the spread. Wearing a mask, washing their hands, staying 6 feet apart, staying at home if they're sick. You know, those things can still be put into place if one chooses not to get the vaccine. So again, I do encourage individuals to get the vaccine, but I think we're at a point where those who have gotten it are going to get it, and those who haven't probably are still not going to get it. So I encourage them to take the other measures to help us decrease the spread.
There you go. What we can do. I'm speaking with Erin Banal, Community Development and Public Information Officer for Bonner General Health. And we're talking about COVID. We're talking about the COVID vaccine. Another misconception, Erin, for the vaccine is that it carries the COVID virus. Can you talk a little bit about what at least the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine really is? It's called an mRNA. That's a messenger process. It's new, it's innovative. Does it carry the COVID virus?
From what I understand and what I've read, no. It is a messenger ribonucleic acid, is what mRNA stands for. It's a set of unique instructions utilized to produce proteins in your body. It's naturally occurring process in all cells in humans, animals, and viruses. So that's what gets put in there. What I've read, the benefits of utilizing mRNA for the COVID-19 vaccine, it's a rapid development. It's able to produce quickly in large quantities. There's no eggs or mercury preservatives, and able to very precisely determine the vaccine target, which is a spike protein. The other thing that was really interesting is the mRNA vaccines are not new. This technology has been studied for over 30 years, and the COVID-19 pandemic really provided an urgent need for a worldwide solution. And so that's what those scientists have done, is utilize this for a worldwide solution. Vaccines aren't a cure-all. They don't prevent you from getting a virus, no different from the flu vaccine, but it does, the majority prevents you from hospitalization, death, and significant complications.
That's a good explanation. Thank you. I know that I went to the CDC website and typed in mRNA, and they also had a really breakdown. I mean, it was almost too scientific for me to study, but it was good to see that it was exactly what you just described. There is no COVID vaccine in it, so you can't spread the COVID. There's no COVID virus in it. You can't spread COVID by getting the vaccine.
Correct. You can only spread COVID if you're positive with COVID-19.
Yeah, there you go. So we're close to the end of the second year of the COVID pandemic. Can you believe it? I can't. And this last spring, we thought we had crossed over to a safe zone with the vaccine that came out in the early part of the year. And then the variant hit, and we had hoped more people would get the vaccine. And in some states they did, but now we are in another surge, obviously. That's what we're talking about. What is it going to take? You kind of hit on most of it, but what is it going to take for this virus to get to the point where it's not surging and mutating at this level in the future? Is there hope? I know that's a big question, but.
I mean, well, I can't predict the future. I think if we were to follow science and follow the recommendation from our healthcare experts, that it would be a higher level of a vaccination rate. If you choose not to be vaccinated, it would be following the other measures to decrease the spread so that it doesn't continue mutating. And we continue this, this kind of nightmare, I would call it, for community members, healthcare providers, business owners, over and over again. It's been, I just see the struggle and the exhaustion in our frontline workers and our housekeepers and our administration trying to figure out, now that we have to cut down on elective surgeries, those are money make. How do you keep the doors open? How do you continue? Like we say with children, it takes a village. It takes a village to provide healthcare services to a community. And they're ready for this to be over as much as everyone is. I can't tell you how it just makes you weary trying to convince people that we're not sitting here making things up, that, we are doing our very best to serve our community and take the very best care of those patients who enter our doors non-judgmentally and, committed to our mission. So I don't know what the answer is. I wish I did. I wish it was over yesterday, but it's not. And we're going to continue to show up to work, and we're going to continue to provide the very best care and provide the very best communication to our community about what's happening.
I think you're right. Folks that are going to get vaccinated have probably gotten vaccinated. There'll probably be a few that will do a little bit more research and see that it's safe and a good thing to do. But for the most part, that's where we're at. In this community. But when you look at the mask, I was just over in Seattle, Washington, and everyone was wearing a mask, both indoors and outdoors. I was at a Mariners game. Everyone was wearing a mask, and we were outside in you know, close quarters. And masks really do, if that's the second line of defense, if it's the vaccine, and masks are really partnered with the vaccine. So masks are simple. You know, I've seen those pictures of someone getting intubated and saying a mask is a whole lot less, is a whole lot more comfortable than getting intubated to so that you can breathe. And it's true. I just think about, and when I was over there in Seattle, it just seemed like everyone was okay. There was no complaints about having, about where, choosing, not having to, but choosing to wear a mask to help each other and to help with this situation. That's what I know. That's what I experienced. So with that, thank you so much, Erin. Again, marketing director of marketing and community development, public information officer for Bonner General Health and Foundation. It's a big job. I just want to commend you and say thank you to you and all the folks at Bonner General Health and our healthcare community here in North Idaho.
Well, thank you. It really is a pleasure to serve this community. I love our community, and I look forward to things getting back to normal.
I think we all do. Thank you so much, Erin Bonnell.
Thank you, Susie.